Today is the last message that we're talking about in our strategy called Lengthen and Strengthen. Our theme verse for our strategy some time ago, just so I can remind you, Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, we talked about enlarge the place of your tent, let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. So we've been looking at, we looked at five cords of the tent, or five areas of ministry that we needed to stretch out or continue to focus on, if we can say it that way: prayer, proclamation of the gospel, reaching parents and children, multiplying small groups, and pontati ethne, which means all the nations, our missions efforts. So those are the five cords of the tent that we have we preached on, looking at continual the next few years to reach out in. And now the last few weeks we've been looking at the stakes of the tent. Those, go back, Zeke. Go back the other way. Yeah, looking at the stakes of the tent. So the stakes of the tent are church leadership. I preached on elders, I preached on deacons, church membership, and then today, church stewardship, this dreaded money sermon. I won't preach on church polity. That's just something that we'll be working on as time permits throughout, trying to clean up some things in our church documents. As I begin today, I do want to say a word of thanksgiving and a word of praise to this body. Thank you for being a giving church. So I want you to know that I'm not preaching on stewardship today because I feel like our church is not a giving church. Actually, we are a giving church. And I want to say thank you for that. I benefit from that personally with my family. Since the day that we came here, this church has been very giving to us. And I am extremely thankful and grateful for that. Thank you for giving to the home missions offering over the last month or so. So we met our goal of $50,000. Dollars to give to various ministries. So thank you. I don't take lightly that you write some of your paycheck money to give to this church through your regular tithe and also through offerings such as the home missions offering. So thank you for giving regularly of your resources to our church and mission endeavors, and to help us rent this school and to my salary and things as well. So really, this is not a message this morning to say, come on, you need to do it. But continue to look at an example in Scripture as we continue to ask the Lord how we can continue to be a giving church, okay? So turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We read a long passage, I know, but so important. I do encourage you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to say personally that this text has been very convicting for me this week, very enlightening. I'm still wrestling on a personal level how I need to obey it. It's absolutely radical and countercultural. And I hope that you see that today in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I want to know how to obey this, and how our church needs to obey this so that God looks really, really great. So today I want to give you three radical things about these passages in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Three things I want us to see this morning about gospel giving. Gospel giving. Now, not just giving, but giving that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, a radical example. We're going to see in this text a radical example in the Macedonian churches. Number two, a radical principle about giving itself. And then number three, a radical reason why we should be this giving. So number one, let's dive right in. A radical example of giving in the churches of Macedonia. By the way, the churches of Macedonia was the church in Philippi, Philippians. and also the church in Thessaloniki or Thessalonica, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and also the church at Berea, which we have a small group called the Bereans who are always examining the scriptures. So something very special about the churches in Macedonia. What did they do? In verse 4, if you have your Bible, in verse 4 we see very clearly what it is that they were doing. In verse 4, it says that they were begging earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So you see it on the screen. What in the world is that? They were begging earnestly, not just begging, but really begging for the favor. Please, please, please let us be a part in giving in this way for the relief of the saints. So you remember in the book of Acts, there was a guy named Agabus. He was a prophet. He came and he said there's going to be a great famine throughout the world. And so many times in the New Testament is referred to as this relief of the saints. So there seems to be a severe famine that was going on, and the church in Jerusalem was particularly struggling. Remember, they sent gifts by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul, to help the church in Jerusalem. So these churches in Macedonia, they were looking for a way that they could also contribute. So if you want to look at a lot of the background passages of that, the sermon notes that I sent out on WhatsApp have all of the verses related to that and the context. I can be glad to give you those. So what do we know about these churches in Macedonia? Number one, in verse 2, you see in verse 2, in a severe test of affliction, they were suffering themselves. So it wasn't like they were just sitting around and everything was great and they had tons of money and they were like, okay, well, let's give some money to the churches in Jerusalem. In a severe test of affliction, and then it says abundance of joy. They gave out of an abundance of joy even though they themselves were struggling. Verse 2 says they were in extreme poverty, but they overflowed with a wealth of generosity on their part. So interesting. They gave out of joy. They were overflowing with a wealth of generosity. They gave according to their means. In verse 3, he actually says they gave above their means. And they were begging Paul that they might contribute to the needs of the saints. So here's people who don't have a ton. So it's not about how much they had. It's about how willing and how joyful, how generous, above their means, they were willing to give. So don't think, you know, you don't want to think, well, I don't really have anything. That's not really the point of whether you have something or not. It's about the heart that they had, okay? So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying to the Corinthians, you see this example in Macedonia? I want to use them as an example for you. I know that you in Corinth, you guys also desired to give as well. Remember, you've been planning it. Titus was helping you in that. You guys were setting some things aside. So now what he's saying to the group in Corinth, the church in Corinth, is complete what you started. You had it in your heart. You had it in your heart to give. Now complete what you started. So he's motivating the church in Corinth, and he's also motivating us, I hope, by using the church in Macedonia as an example. A church that is joyful, church that is generous, and giving sacrificially. Now, really, what we're talking about is giving as a church, but a church is made up of people who individually give. So there's an application for us individually. Also, look in Philippians chapter 4, we see something about, remember, Philippi is the leading city in Macedonia. So look a little bit of how these people, how well they gave. Philippians 4, he says, yet it was kind of you, writing to these Macedonians, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. So even in Thessalonica, you sent me help. So the church in Philippi sending money to Thessalonica to help Paul. These are both in Macedonia. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And interesting, this verse you all know in the context of what it's in. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because you gave, you were so generous, I'm confident that God will keep supplying your needs that you have. So he's speaking to this fear. Don't have fear of giving, because don't worry, you give it away, God's going to take care of your needs. He already said, he's not going to necessarily buy you a Porsche, but he's going to take care of what you need. So that's also written to the Macedonians. So Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, be like the Macedonians, a church that is joyful, generous, and gives sacrificially. So, number one, we have a radical example for the church in Corinth to follow in the Macedonian church. Number two, we have a radical principle about money. A radical principle about money. I hope this just was jumping, screaming off the pages at me this week. Look in verse 12. For if the readiness is there, meaning they have hearts willing, they've already set some money aside. If the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased, like Jerusalem, and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So he makes it very clear in verses 12 and 13 that a person is not obligated to give money that they don't have. Okay? So it's not that a person needs to go into debt in order to try to be a giver. So he makes it very clear. You have an obligation to give not what you don't have, but what you have. And I think that's important. It's important that we don't think, oh, this guilt. Oh, I've got this guilt. I feel like I got to give. Now, God's not saying that you need to give money you don't have. We're going to make that clear, okay? It's what he does not say. But listen to what he does say. He uses the word fairness twice, which I find very interesting. As a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. Fairness. What is he implying? He is implying, I believe, that the church in Corinth's money, their abundance, is not their own to do whatever they want to do with. Let me say that again. It implies that the money that the church in Corinth has is not their own to do with it whatever they want. He says that. Your abundance is to supply someone else's need. And someday you might be in need, and their abundance is to help your need. Abundance is for sharing. Abundance is for sharing. That's a radical principle. If the church in Jerusalem has an abundance, they will share with someone else later. So I hope you see that. That's very interesting what he says. Radical and rare, if not completely unheard of. Can you imagine a church saying, we have this abundance, and you know what we need to do? We need to give it to help another church that's in need. Your abundance supplying someone else's need. And just to make sure that we understood what he was talking about. What he says is he quotes in verse 15 the Old Testament. He quotes Exodus 16, 17 through 19. And he says this, "As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." You see that? Now, do you know which passage this is referring to in the Old Testament? This passage is about collecting manna each day. So God gave them exactly what they needed each day. God provides needs. And Paul takes this passage and says, abundance, if you have an abundance, you are to share it with others, so that if anybody else doesn't have, they will have. One has nothing left over, and one lacks nothing. Abundance is for sharing. Abundance is for giving away. So is that really what he's trying to say here? Look over in chapter 9, in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 we've been looking at. Let's look over at chapter 9. That's why you need to read both 8 and 9, because he continues the conversation. He goes back to talking again about, hey, you guys have been saving up this money. Let's make sure that you give it. Now, you know Paul, if you've read enough about Paul, you know that he kind of seems to chase a rabbit and get off subject, and then he comes back. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he comes back to it. In verse 6, look what he says. The point is this. So that's pretty clear, right? If we want to know what he means, then we know what he means if he says, this is the point. This is what I really mean. Look what he says. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, he was talking about the church before, how a church gives to help other churches. Now he's saying each one. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You see that? Very consistent with what he said before. He's talking about giving generously, and that as you give generously, God will make sure that you have everything you need, not only to take care of yourself, but so that you can continue to sow more for the kingdom. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Give cheerfully. God will supply your needs and multiply your ability to keep sowing and producing fruit. You'll be enriched in order to keep on being generous. God gives an abundance in order to lose it for the kingdom. God gives us an abundance in order to lose it for the kingdom. God makes us rich to relieve other people's poverty. Now, I'm not saying communism. I'll show you why I use those terms in a minute. God gives us an abundance of seed in order to sow not to be consumers of seed. God enriches us for generosity. Wow, that's pretty difficult. I've had a hard time swallowing that this week. So, is the Bible saying it's wrong to have money? Is that what it's saying? Notice they use the word abundance. Abundance. Okay? So let's make sure the Bible, is the Bible saying that we should not have money? So should we feel guilty for having money? We know it's not wrong to have money because we know that God is the one who actually gives it to us. And He actually gives it to us to provide our needs and to enjoy. We are to just guard ourselves from keeping too much of it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll show you 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice the similarities in what he says in 1 Timothy 6 and in what we've been talking about. As for the rich in this present age. Now, be careful and don't think, I'm not rich. Don't compare yourselves to people in Hong Kong. Let's compare ourselves to everybody else in the world. Okay. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So if we go down here to Ruby Tuesdays and have a steak, that's not a sin, thankfully. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. You see the balance here? He's not saying it's wrong to have money, but he's saying if you are rich, God has given you that for a purpose. If you have an abundance, that God has given you that for a reason. Not to just keep. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You understand what's going on here? Investing money in the kingdom is a much greater return than investing money anywhere else. So the churches in Macedonia, this is what they're doing. It's a radical example. Look at the churches in Macedonia. Look at their example. And by the way, in 2 Corinthians 9, if you read the whole thing, he actually says, Corinth, you had it stored up, and I told the people in Macedonia, and I think that encouraged them to actually give. So now I'm encouraging you to give by telling you their story. A radical example for us to follow. A radical principle about money, and that is abundance is for sharing. And number three, a radical reason why we should give this way. I hope that you saw these words when we were reading this scripture, because this kind of giving is called gospel giving. It's giving that reflects something. You see, if I just give a little bit today, anybody can give. That's all I have in my pocket. If anybody can, because I need to go to the ATM, not because I gave it away. But anybody can give money. But giving cheerfully and giving generously and giving out of an overflow of your heart as a gift to the Lord, that speaks of something greater that the world knows nothing about. This kind of giving is like Jesus. It points to Jesus. In the middle of all that passage talking about Macedonia and talking about you got it stored up, now hold, keep it aside and let's give it, he said something about Jesus. Look in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He just said it in passing very quickly. He said this one statement that is profoundly powerful. He said, as an example, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich." The Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. You see, when a Christian gives away their abundance and their resources for the kingdom, it speaks of Jesus. His abundance supplied my need. He had an abundance of righteousness, and He laid that aside and supplied our need for righteousness. His abundance of grace. He had an abundance of grace that He, out of His grace, took away our sin. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the what? The riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ has an abundance of power that He laid aside and became a man. Incarnation. Abundance of power. And now He daily supplies us with power to live the new life in Christ. And that someday, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will one day raise and give life to my mortal body and take me to where He is. You know, the Scripture says He emptied Himself. So when we empty ourselves, or we empty our wallets to give away, we are expressing and being like our Lord. This is called gospel giving. It's giving like Jesus. It's a kind of stewardship that is called kingdom stewardship because it reflects our King. Purposefully. Listen, folks. This is not the way the world operates. Purposefully going down so that others can go up. Purposefully becoming less wealthy so that others can be supplied needs. Purposefully, joyfully, generously, earnestly, bountifully sowing seeds of the kingdom, laying up treasures in heaven. That's not the way the world operates. What would God call us to do that would be foolishness to the world? Randy Alcorn, who wrote many, many good books, Treasure Principle, Money, Possessions, he said this: "God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving." Remember, it's not wrong to have something. But God prospers us, gives us an abundance, not so we can do like the man in the Gospels to build bigger barns, but so that we can use it to build the kingdom of God on this planet. Church, what would God have us do with our surplus? What could CBIBC do for the kingdom with the abundance that God has given us? The return of the kingdom is greater. The return of the kingdom is greater than putting it in the bank. And it's better, a better return than investing it in stocks or in bonds or in real estate. Because we pay it forward to the kingdom of God. There are translations. I'll give you an example. There are translations of the Bible out there that are waiting to be funded so that a people group somewhere in the world could have the money. They could pay a translator to be able to translate the Bible in their language. Jingmin and Alice just got back from Japan, ministry that I'm aware of and partnered with in the past. In Nagoya, Japan, said the greatest need they had in Japan was people can't stay there because it's so expensive. Japan is 1% Christian. What could we do for the kingdom? Brother or sister, what could you do with God's resources? Let's follow the radical example of the Macedonians. Let's follow the radical principle of abundance is for sharing, because we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, he became poor so that by his poverty we might become rich. May God give us the grace. One thing I want to say, look in chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. I got time to mention this. Chapter 8, verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Do you know where this kind of giving comes from? It comes from God. We need God to give us the grace to continue to not just be a giving church, but a gospel-giving church. May God give us the grace to be like the Macedonians, to be gospel givers for His kingdom, for His glory. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray that You would smooth over my tracks. Anything that I have said that has been unbeneficial or not for the building up of this body, or discouraging or misconstrued or confusing, I pray that You would, by Your grace, just smooth over all of that. But I pray that 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, 1 Timothy 6, Matthew 6, Philippians 4, that Your word would abide, that Your word would sink in. Pray for myself that You would not let this be a sermon that goes from one week to the next, but You would show me personally how I might obey the Scripture. Help us to be doers of Your word, not hearers only. We pray in Christ's name.